Thank you, team. I am excited about today's service and the 10:45 service today. We're receiving 10 new members, and that's an exciting thing in the life of the church, and I am thrilled with that and can't wait for that experience. I invite you to come back and encourage these who are taking membership. Come on back and just support them in that and show your care and your concern. This morning, in this particular service, I would like to speak about a subject that is very prevalent, it seems, as though in our society. I know it is in my own life, and I'm sure there are times in yours where it's an issue with you too, and that's the issue of depression. And how do you deal with it? How do you move yourself out of that funk that makes so, you know, you don't want to face life. You don't want to face people. You just don't want to have any association. You just want to back off. You just want to find a hole somewhere and crawl in it and just kind of disappear. How do you get out of that? Well, the scriptures have some insights for us that I believe are very important, and that if we will take the time to really pay attention to what they say and then follow its principles and practices, we will be able to be raised above whatever those particular circumstances are. In your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to please open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. How do we win over depression? I'm going to tell you, folks, negative things in life are going to happen to all of us. It's going to happen. How we respond and how we react to those kinds of things is what determines whether we rise or whether we fall. Whether we overcome or whether we are overcome. It how we take and approach those particular areas of life determine where we are in our spiritual walk. And I know that the Lord does not want us to live in a state of depression. He wants us to live above that. He wants us to be people who are joy-filled. I'm not talking giddy happiness. I'm talking about people who have that settled peace of God, that no matter what happens, they're going to be kind, they're going to be compassionate, but they're going to be truthful. They're going to be above the circumstances of life. Look at what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at the 8th verse. Well, let's begin with the 7th verse, okay? Paul says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body." Let's pray. Our gracious Father, I pray that this morning, that your Spirit would encourage us, that you would help us to be lifted above what this world's standards are, that we might live to your standards. Father, teach us that what you have to say and what you have to declare is far more important than what we think. Father, teach us that your creeds are the right creeds. Teach us that your will is greater than the wills of those who would try to destroy us and to defeat us. As Paul said, we are pressed down, but we're not forgotten. Lord, let the church today be raised above the circumstances and standards of the world. And we'll give you thanks and we'll give you praise, for it's in the awesome Spirit of Christ that we pray. Amen. There are three things that will help to lift us out of a state of depression. Everyone, you see, has troubles. Everyone has trials. Everyone has testings. Everyone goes through those periods of time where they are just feel like they're being crushed. But those who seek God's help don't fall into the slough of despond. They don't fall into that poor, poor, pitiful me mindset. They don't trust in their feelings, but instead they have confidence in their faith. And that becomes an important issue in our lives. And so if we will just follow these three simple little things, we can have victory over depression. And I'm telling you, I'm preaching to myself this morning as much as anybody. All right? So let's look at this. The first thing is we need to stop looking downward and start looking upward. Stop looking downward. Start looking upward. In Psalm 42, verse 5, we read these words, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Hope in God. Hope in God. For I shall yet praise Him." You see, when we begin to sense that crushing, perplexing power of the enemy coming upon us, we need to look up and recognize that God is all truth, that God is all love, that God is all grace, and that He is fully aware of the circumstances that we're going through. And so we have to pay attention to that. Discouragement is one of the greatest hindrances to the Christian life. If Satan can get us discouraged, then he'll get us to do nothing. If he can get us defeated, he inflicts pain on God. If he can get us to be self-destructive, he wins a great victory. And when we're looking down, that's what's happening to us. The more we look downward, the more depressed we become, the more depressed we become, the more we look downward. Start looking upward and say with the psalmist, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord." Look up. Stop looking down. Secondly, if we would win over depression, we need to stop looking inward and start looking outward. Stop looking inward. Start looking outward. Christians who become self-centered are miserable and depressed. They feel unimportant, unwanted, and unloved. And they get into this mindset, boy, it's got to be my way or no way. And that's a wrong attitude. In fact, that's a sinful attitude. And then when Christians begin to run around and backbite, that's a result of that type of a mindset. And that's destructive to their brothers and sisters in Christ. And that is destructive to their own spiritual well-being. You see, Christians who become self-centered are miserable. They're miserable to be around. They're miserable to try to work with. And they're miserable even in their own spirit because they're so self-absorbed that they cannot reach out in kindness. And so we need to start looking outward, looking away from ourselves and our issues and our problems, and begin to look for God's opportunities. Begin to look for God's direction in our lives. Ask Him to forgive us. Ask Him to cleanse us. Ask Him to fill us with His love and His compassion. When we lose ourselves in service for God and others, when we assist the needy, when we comfort the sick and the lonely, when we share Christ with the unsaved, when those things are taking place in our lives, God lifts our heart and He lifts our soul. When we look inward, we find emptiness. When we look outward, we find opportunity. And that's a huge difference in life. And then the third thing is if we need to stop looking backwards and start looking forward. Stop looking backwards. Start looking forward. This has been my greatest issue in the last year and a half to 2 years here at the church. Keep looking backwards. Keep looking backwards. And what that does is it keeps me from focusing on what is tomorrow and what does God want to do. What does He want to do through us as a church? I'm going to confess something to you, as I've lost my vision for this church. And a lot of it's because of the backbiting that's been taking place. I'm done with it. And I have determined I'm going forward with Jesus Christ. And I have determined that if this church does not want to look towards the future, does not want to look towards bringing salvation to the lost, but they want to huddle and become little groups, I'm done. I'm done. God has for us a tremendous future. But we can't be looking back. We've got to look forward. And in our looking forward, we have to look for God's will and God's direction. That type of frankness bothers some people. And I know it does. But you know what? We need to, each one of us, become frank and honest with ourselves. We need to search, what is this about? Is it about me? Or is it about God? Is it about my will? Or is it about His will? What does God want from us as a church? Why do we exist? Do we exist for personal power? Or do we exist for powerful power? praise? Do we exist just for meeting our own little needs? Or does God have this church here to be a place where the lost can come and find Christ? Why would people want to come here? It's a question we have to ask ourselves. Why would they want to come? Well, I'll tell you what. When we get our head together as a church with a proper focus, stop looking back and start looking forward, people will want to be here because they can find Jesus Christ. Because that's the missing link in their lives. It's time, folks, for us to do some real, honest searching as a church. Quit listening to the rumors that are going on all outside there. If you're participating in those things, repent of it, get it straightened out. Get over it. Let's go forward. Let's press on for the prize of the high call of God. As a church, let's move toward what God wants. God does not want us to be a defeated, discouraged people. He wants us to be a church that is dynamic for Jesus Christ. And while we eat and devour one another, we're not dynamic. We're dunces. And that doesn't honor God. It's time to step forward. The divisions must stop so that God can be honored. I know that's blunt, but it's absolutely true. We'll either be a part of the problem or we'll be a part of the solution. The problem is Satan wants to stop us from being the church that we need to be. The solution is God is enthroned, and it's not about us, it's about Him. When we reach that point, God will be blessed, and so will we. Let's stand. Our gracious Father, I pray for this church. This is your church. Father, it's not my church. It's not anyone who sits here. It's not their church. It's your church. Lord, I believe that you have placed this church here for a purpose. And that purpose is not self-fulfillment in any of us. That purpose is to honor your word. That purpose is to press forward. That purpose is for us to live so much above reproach that when lies are being told, no one will believe them. But instead, the purpose of this church is to preach and to teach the glory and the power and the authority of God, that He has the answers to all of our issues. The purpose of this church is to reach out to those who are without Christ and give them opportunity for life. Not blame everybody else for that. but to reach out. Not to blame our parents or anyone else. Well, they were too strict, so I'll never go to church again. That's garbage, Lord, and we know it. It's time for us to face the fact. We need you. More than anything in life, we need you. Father, fill us. Fill us with your Spirit, with your power, with your authority. Father, fill us with your grace, with your newness, with optimism and hope. Father, fill us with your resolve. Jesus, as you committed to a cross, let us be committed to a cross. Now, Father, thank you. Thank you for your love, for your grace. Father, even more importantly, thank you for your involvement in our lives. Help us to set ourselves aside and let you reign supreme. Don't let us look back. Let us press on for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us press on with faith and hope and optimism. Let us press on with resolve to follow you. And we'll give you thanks. For it's in your awesome and holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being here. God bless you. Have a great day in Jesus' name.